Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cosmic Crit 2.0, the podcast. This is your GM, Patrick, and we are continuing on with our quest to set up Series 1 with a sequence of Episode Zeros. I think I'm going to see if we can call them like Episode 0.1, 0.2. A whole slew of Episode Zeros this year as we set up our first adventure, Guilt of the Grey World. Joining me this week in a short one-on-one character discussion is my good friend, Miles. Miles, welcome to just you and me on Cosmic Crit.
Have we ever done this before?
Have we ever recorded
crit bits and stuff? But I don't think we've ever. I know we're doing this as we've just recorded like two other episodes of other podcasts.
Yeah.
So, but have we ever done a Cosmic Crit just you and me?
I don't think so. We explored this a little bit in Dead Men Roll No Crit. So Rebecca and Tyler, Seth, and Jabert got a taste of one-on-one Patrick. But I don't even think for like this kind of thing, like character creation, I don't think we did it. So, no, this is a first. This is a first, and I don't know.
Doesn't feel that much first after recording like 2 hours with you prior. So, all right, what else we got?
Well, I guess I can ask. Spoiler warning, but yeah, we're doing this towards the end of the recording night. How are you doing, Miles? In general,
I'm doing all right.
Warmed up at the very least.
You're right. I've been talking to you for quite a bit. I am actually a lot more excited about this venture that I think I started off with. I messaged you after we did our draft, and because I had been struggling, I mentioned this a little bit in the end of first edition episode that we did, where I felt like we were just kind of all dogging on that adventure path. But I did kind of find myself in a spot where I was, you know, struggling to come up with a character that I felt like I wanted to play. And which is what happened last time. And last time, you know, that birth redacted because I liked the idea, but I didn't care for the execution or even the kind of adventure. Like the character was one thing, but it wasn't right for, I think, that particular adventure. And somehow we've kind of found ourselves, and I feel like everyone felt that way. We're like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're in a interesting group that I think is going to actually work together well in terms of mechanics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny.
It might be our most sound and balanced team we've ever made by accident.
Yeah, Jabert mentioned that to me. It's like, I think, like, accidentally we did the best, you know, character creation process that we've ever done. Because to be fair, for seasons 1 through 5 of Cosmic Crit, we were very much, you know, I guess kind of talking to one another, but it was mostly saying, it's like, I kind of want to do this character. I kind of want to do this character. And I think in the first season, for example, we were like, okay, well, maybe your character has worked with him before. I think we're going to do that to another degree for Cosmic Crit 2.0. And that's what this episode's all about. We're going to start slinging some ideas here and get started on that process. First, let me ask you, you know, you probably have the least experience with Starfinder second edition Pathfinder. How are you feeling?
At least you mean zero. Yes, it's correct.
How are you feeling about starting in on a brand new game system?
So I'm not gonna lie, I was a little, I don't know if it was intimidated is the right word, but I was a little lost because I know that they had kind of slow, like some places like, you know, Nethys and the SRD have like kind of bled some of the second edition stuff into some of the first edition stuff in the kind of final year. And so starting fresh, I mean, I have the PDF now, so like it's better to look at it and see exactly what's going on, because I didn't know like what made it so different or what they were doing compared to first edition that was going to affect my style of play. And so I feel a lot better now, I think, having settled on a character and having gotten to kind of look at the PDF a little bit, even though it's a pretty monster book.
Yeah, I mean, it's smaller than the Pathfinder second edition book, but you can also read
I don't play Pathfinder, so I can't tell.
Well, we're in
the same.
It seems bigger
than the first edition's rule.
Vein. I don't think so, actually. I think
is it not? It feels like it.
Well, it has two less classes, but I think it has more base ancestries, but the ancestries are larger entries in second edition, which we'll talk about. You mentioned our draft we had a few weeks ago or last week, depending on when this episode comes out. When we went through it, we had not talked beforehand, but you seemed to have a good idea of what you wanted to create. And very interesting that I should mention that you were the only player that did not choose any Pathfinder options. So you went all Starfinder second edition.
Yeah. I maybe because I haven't played Pathfinder, I wasn't really interested, at least for right now, into dipping into that, to be perfectly honest. I wanted to play Starfinder, you know? And so I think there's interesting stuff to do with the Pathfinder stuff, but it wasn't what I wanted to do for my character. You know, like I said, I was kind of, I think going into the draft and thinking about, you're like, don't think necessarily about like the actual background. Just think of these main things and build around that. So what do you want to play? What style do you want to play? What background do you want to play? Just like start there. And then, because I mean, almost every single time before now, I've come up with my character first and then figured out what their mechanics were.
Mm-hmm.
Like Raimi, I decided Technomancer, but like everything about Raimi was kind of decided after I figured out what his character was.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Wynn, certainly the same with Sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Redacted, actually, I probably picked the vehicle mechanic first, but no, I think I came with the thing with Redacted at first. But with my new character, who does not have a name yet, I was like, all right, I'm going to try the pure draft style. And I lucked out because I got everything I wanted.
Yeah. So what drew you to Solarion? I kind of weighted it so it was easier to play stuff you haven't played before, but you had enough character creation points to make another human technomancer if you wanted.
I know.
Because you traded with Rebecca, I think, for a point.
I didn't trade with anybody. I just everything I did was like singular points, I think.
Who did Rebecca trade with?
Drew?
I have to go back and look at the
I don't know.
The draft notes.
I know I have 1 point left still for the next draft.
Well, you had two extra, so yes, you have one that you can.
But so for Solarion, I never played it before. And then that's kind of a simple answer, but like also like for people like Rebecca's played it what, twice now? Three times in maybe like
well, with season signing? One, season four. But yeah. Yeah, most everyone has played a similar kind of class, I would say.
But didn't magic-y. She pick up Solarion for something else at one point?
Probably.
Yeah, like so I know she loves that class and she's, you know, and everyone seems to really like playing in the class. It is different, and I haven't historically played a lot of classes that allow you to, or not allow you, but like that encourage you to get more front and center. And
yeah, well, we'll talk about that.
I'm typically always in the back, and so I wanted to play something a little bit more front facing this time. And it's a class that I really have not played with at all. There might have been a special or a holiday or something that we did that might have been a Solarion. I don't think so, but I was excited to play something I'd never played before.
In addition to that, you've chosen the Haunted background as well as the Prismini Versal heritage on top of Patra, the cat people of the Vescarium. A lot of storytelling potential there, but
yeah.
We've already talked a little bit off air about how those can kind of weave on top of one another.
And that's kind of why I chose it. Like I chose Haunted first, but when I was asking you in the draft about the ancestries and stuff about the very ancestries, because I was like, this actually goes really hand in hand with someone who might be haunted, you know, there's a lot to explore there.
And yeah, for the first time playing second edition, you were also the only player who chose a Versal heritage. They were a little cost prohibitive, but you managed to make it work. Let's talk about Solarion. Let's talk about the class. And you said you've looked at it a little bit in Starfinder second edition. Mm-hmm. I think there's maybe fewer options than some of the standard classes, but there's so many variations of like the base form of Solarion that you can play, because you can basically make your Solarion weapon into whatever you want it to be.
Right.
But I would still say in manifesting these weapons, you're going to want to build your character either based on strength or dex as Well, either as your first attribute or your secondary attribute.
I think you had me listed as con.
Well, that is the primary attribute for the class. So that is what class-based DCs are going to be based on. Like for your supernova, like the DC of a supernova is going to be based on constitution. But if you're, you know, going to be using a weapon, you have basically options to go like big and strong with strength kind of weapons, or fast and agile with dex based weapons, or, you know, a mix of the two. The Patra ancestry has a feat that gives you also finesse, claw, and bite attacks. That would be like outside of your Solarian weapon attacks, so that would be dex based. Finesse in
could I make like a Solarian claw?
Yeah, I think technically, I mean, the way it works is you basically take whatever attributes of a weapon and describe it how you want. So if you want to make it into like a whip, you'd have like reach, and you would have the trip ability. So the thing that is not super customizable is the mote, the flare, which is your range option with Solarian. There are feats that change it, but you can't like make it into a Solarian heavy weapon, at least not now. You can't. So that range option is just probably gonna, I would suggest, you be your backup. You can make a range Solarian, it's just there's just not as many options. Do you have an idea of what you want to do, like strength or dex wise for melee?
It sounds like it might be better for me to just kind of lean into dex.
Mm-hmm. Which are very fast. Very fast creatures.
It makes sense for the character. Also, I tend to play a lot of dex-based characters.
I will say, I think we're getting a strength-based melee with Rebecca's Vesk character. I haven't talked to her yet, so I'm just guessing that. But I think she's going beefy.
That's awesome.
Okay.
But yeah, well, I think I'm gonna go dex based. I haven't, you know, obviously this is not a final decision, but I'm because also I feel like it's the one that I kind of leans into what I want to play more with. Okay. Some abilities that go with dex.
Cool. Dex also obviously will be your ranged attacks as well, so it kind of doubles up there. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the Patra, the cat folk kind of like creatures, but so you're taking the Prismini Versal heritage on top of that, which means basically anytime you get an ancestry feat, you can choose if you want the Prismini one or if you want a Patra one of that level. We played Dead Men Roll No Crit with Tyler having the like Asimar Versal heritage, and he didn't pick one of those feat options until like level 11, you know. So he was all human feats. The Prismini, though, there's one that seems very powerful right at the gate, which is a single action half speed teleport option.
Yeah.
which I saw, I was like, oh man, that's so good. And I don't know if that would stack with Stellar Rush, the Solarian ability where you like gain speed, but
it wouldn't be the first time I play a teleporter. So
like free teleportation at level one, even if it's like
it's pretty great.
10 feet is pretty cool. But yeah, did you take a look at any of the Patra feats?
I mean I kind of glanced at it because I didn't want to play a human again, obviously. And you know, there's I looked at what we had available for Starfinder that had been made here and the Pathfinder options that we had, and I wanted to play something that was kind of very, very different and maybe kind of redeem choices that I made before. Like, you know, I was super stoked about being an uplifted bear, and I just kind of felt like I didn't really get into that character until much longer. But yeah, they have some really cool stuff. Obviously, you have things that might benefit, like the climbing claws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which gives you a climb speed that's equal to your land speed. And I think what's cool about the Patra is like it's just, I feel like there's a lot of different choices that you can make by character, and sometimes it doesn't always feel like there's a lot of variety. Like for a mechanic, I didn't feel like there was a lot of variety in the kind of choices that I could make based on my character. And here I feel like there's like, you know, a couple of things that are very, very different. Mm-hmm. Like there's a big difference between something like, you know, going for melodic adaptation, you know, compared to, well, even the other feel like, you know, harmonic shielding. Like there's other ideas that are kind of close to each other, that where it's like, oh yeah, if I create a character like this, you know, I could go into, like, if I wanted to be more, maybe more of a bard type character, this might be interesting for me. But if I'm, you know, a little bit more of a hypersensitive, you know, character that really wants to make sure that they are, you know, protected, then I could go that way. And I felt like that not only was it cool being a big old kitty cat, which I am very excited about, but I felt like that class or that race has a lot of variety in its feats.
Well, visual looks as well, they're very different, but I think the best decision you made so far is taking the Prismini personal heritage with Solarian, because just, you know, being drift attuned and solar and having all these like different attunements and things that can affect your character are going to be interesting story and mechanically wise, I think.
Yeah, the kind of lore aspects of Prismini I thought was really, really fascinating. And I thought would also probably benefit a feline character. Cats kind of tend to do whatever they want, so and go off, you know, whenever they feel like it. I'm like, well, this tracks. But also someone who's haunted might also be someone who is constantly changing things, constantly on the move. When I saw that one of the backgrounds was haunted, I think anyone who knows me is like, oh yeah, that's what Miles is going to pick. Yeah, he's going to do that.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about how you could be haunted by drift beings and instead of like, you know, your classical ghosts, like extra dimensional creatures and things, which I'm sure will be fun to play around with.
Because the kind of thing behind it is like not unclear, but like it's kind of up to me about what it actually is haunting you. And it's like you can't always directly contact with it, but you have some contact. So I really like this idea that like randomly my character is going to be arguing with someone who no one else can hear or see.
Well, let's talk about your character kind of personality a little bit. You know, we talked about the ABCs of what you're picking, but, you know, based on your past characters you've played and, you know, some of the ones that have been your favorites, are there elements of your past characters you kind of want to recapture with this Patras Solarian?
Yeah,
I make you love them.
Yeah, I want this character to kind of have that feeling of they are an outsider who is constantly changing, but within their core, they absolutely want to be part of something. They want to be. They are certainly searching for their found family, and I have some ideas. I have some ideas for some backgrounds with other characters that have been drawn that I think could be fun. But yeah, this is like, all right. I mean, obviously it's not the same character, but because I'm playing an anthropomorphic animal, I'm like, all right, let's see if I can and take that idea that I have with Wynn and like get it right this time. But yeah, I mean, I think I definitely want to take some of maybe the constitution of Wynn, maybe a little bit of the initial kind of with reserved nature of early Raimi without the alcohol, and maybe some of like Sprout's determination. Sprout's is very kind of focused and kind of eyes on the mission. And I feel like that is an aspect that my character might have, you know. So there's certainly aspects of like my first three seasons of characters that I might pick up, but also we'll probably be adding in a lot of other different flavors. Maybe someone who's not, I think it might be fun to play someone who's haunted, but also not completely dour. I've played my fair share of, you know, secretive dour characters. So maybe they have a lot going on, but they kind of cope with that by being a little bit more, you know, mouthy or silly, you know?
Yeah. Do you have like a general archetype from fiction that you foresee this character, you know, playing into? Like, is this like a closer to a Mal kind of hero?
Or
is this a Johnny Mnemonic style?
I don't know if he's Johnny Mnemonic, although I do love that movie. When I'm thinking about the kind of character,
we usually, it's hard not to make Solarians like main characters in seasons. Do you see this being the main character of series one?
I do love a lovable idiot. That like, especially like in anime, like where you have a character that maybe like an Edward Elric, who is like very smart, very determined, very like has so much going on, but also like has this one side of him that he's an absolute moron sometimes and is very quick to like have one thing that he's super insecure about. And but at the same time is like extremely driven, extremely smart, extremely haunted by what's happened to him. So maybe a little Edward Elric from Fullmetal Alchemist, maybe a little, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone that I appreciate. Like, I don't know. What if Bill Hader played Edward? Maybe that's what I'm going for.
A little jokey, a little dumb, but
yeah, I mean, that's always the characters that I love, is like characters that have a little jokiness to them. But I think with other characters I had before, you know, anytime Sprouse make a joke is more of a, you know, a noir one liner. But this is certainly more of a, actually, I think the perfect balance would be like a Nightwing type of character who, you know,
you can make your Solarian weapons batons.
certainly walks the tightrope of the light and dark, but is very much a much more lighthearted character that his mentor chooses to see the light. And
Patrick character would be very good on a tightrope, a cat character. Sorry.
Exactly. So like, yeah, I know I'm making all these little puns that like work for cats too. So I think maybe like a Nightwing is possibly the kind of character, that Dick Grayson type of character might be what I'm looking at.
You've already answered kind of one of my next questions is there an Achilles heel or a blind spot for this character? Is it just as simple as them being dumb, an int of eight?
No. I mean, because they're not gonna be stupid. I mean, when I say a moron, it doesn't mean they have an int of eight. It just means they make dumb choices.
Gotcha.
I haven't decided on Achilles' heel. I certainly think that the Achilles' heel might come in their Prismeni background. You know, this idea that they're constantly needing to change and needing to move, and maybe they're trying to fight against that. You know, because if the idea that this character is going to be grouped with these other characters for season two, you know, they're going to have to fight that urge to either leave or to do something completely different, when doing something different might be dangerous to the group. And so I think there will be a lot of like internal difficulties for my character being in something that's supposed to be stable, like a party. So I don't know if it's an Achilles heel, but it will certainly be a weakness, is in doubting the need to stay.
We have usually some secret stuff in just about every season, character backstory, secret stuff. Sometimes it's things that the players leave open-ended for me to fill in. So it's kind of a secret until it happens, like in the story. Sometimes it's a secret that me and the player share against the other players. So like, you know, Tyler and I knew.
Oh, I tried that last season. You wouldn't have any of it. So I don't want to freaking hear it.
Well, this season I was going to ask if there are any secrets you want to keep, even from me, even not just the audience and the other players, but something like, you know, what happened to your family? You know, maybe it's just like a sore point and it's just something that you would eventually maybe tell other players and I wouldn't know about it until you did. Is there any, can you think of any secrets you potentially want to keep like that?
I can think of a couple. I know there's one thing that I've kind of said out loud to you about wanting to do. It's not really a secret. I'd probably keep it a secret from
other players.
Some of our players.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could come up with a couple things. And I mean, I still haven't, you know, narrowed down exactly the nature of my character's haunting either. So there is that. Some of that I probably will share with you because I'll need to. But some of it, you know, maybe I won't. So yeah, there are certainly some potential secrets, but it's not something that I've toiled over quite yet.
Right. Other things to think about are, you know, your motivations. And those could be secrets as well. But like, why are you adventuring? Like, why are you out in the universe? It could be as simple as money, but it could be like
It's also literally the definition of the Prismeni.
Yeah. If it's just adventuring for adventuring's sake, that is its own thing. But, you know, it did things happen to you along the way before our adventure starts that, you know, like majorly affected you and are the reason you can't settle down?
I do feel like whatever possibly, because I did read that like not everyone's born into being a Prismeni.
You can make it whatever you want. You can have it be like a space accident, Fantastic Four style.
I feel like whatever happened that led to my character being haunted is probably a large part of it.
Okay, so probably not from birth then.
No.
But maybe, I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing about, like, and I've only just, like, briefly read the lore for Prismeni, but I think that there will be stuff that factors in. But I think the nature of the haunting and the nature of being Prismeni are going to factor into my character's motivations for adventuring. Certainly with the way that, like, someone would end up in a party.
All right, well, we've got a lot to go on. We are taking our time with Series 1. We're probably going to spend about half as much time planning it out as we are actually going to be playing it, because we are taking a little time off between Cosmic Crit and Cosmic Crit 2.0. So you have time not only to think about your character, but to make your first official Starfinder 2E character. If there are rules issues you want to go over at any point, let me know. And by the time folks listen to this, maybe on the Patreon, you'll still be putting some final touches on you. But do you think you'd ask people in the Discord for suggestions if you came up against a writer's block or something for your
possibly character? I tend to like to keep some of that stuff close to the vest, but if I had a you know, I could see myself fielding some things. But I mean, the more I kind of think about my character, the more I have a little bit of a grasp of who they might be. I certainly haven't figured out like what they're going to sound like or anything like that, even though I'm not great with voices, but
just meow before and at the end of every sentence and just meow. I think we should go over here. Meow.
No. I'm going to be meow. And it's like, well, what my character actually said was,
I think I've put the kibosh before on I am Groot situation.
Yeah, I think you have too, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. I am not one that always follows the rules.
Although I think I would allow someone to just make up their own language. Like, and speak specifically in it.
Or what, like, if I just like whispered to another character and that entire time I'm just like typing what I would say? And like, oh, well, he says this. That would also be funny. But no, yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible, but not in the cards for me to field suggestions at the moment.
Don't DM Miles. You heard it here, folks. You might also already be done with your character by the time this episode comes out, but that is going to do it for us here. We got all the rest of the players I'm going to be talking with in a similar vein. And, you know, but like I said, usually these kind of discussions happened off air, usually not even over voice. We usually just do it via Discord messaging, DMs and stuff, but I'm excited to get a little bit of this recorded to show folks, you know, kind of how to do it yourselves. If you want to start your own Starfinder 2E campaign, this is the episode zero stuff probably we've not done before.
Yeah, I gotta come up with another punny name that will annoy the hell out of you, like Wing. Your reaction the first time I said that name to you, you were like, no, absolutely not.
Well, it was Win, middle initial E, and then like Poo. I was like, no, I'm not going to Win.
No, it was not just Win E Poo.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a Carmen Sandiego. It was close to what happened in the actual season. But
Miles, is your character going to hate Mondays and love lasagna?
I can neither confirm nor deny. They could be haunted by a tiny yellow bird that they see all the time.
I will approve of Thundercats references, but not Garfield.
What about Heathcliff?
I will, you know, to be honest, Heathcliff is kind of like a fighter cat, you know?
Yeah, he's kind of the anti-Garfield.
Yeah, I'll allow a Heath or a Cliff, but not both. That's going to do it for us. Miles, thank you for recording another episode of podcasting with me tonight and letting our audience in on this conversation.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do it. This is fun. I like doing this kind of stuff.
Well, we're gonna be doing a whole lot more. Listeners, thank you for listening. We're going to continue on the journey to the start of Cosmic Crit 2.0 series number one in the coming weeks. Thank you for listening, and till next time, so long.
D. good night.
You've been listening to Cosmic Crit. The Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.